So I think that what the course is trying to say with level confusions is that, oh, is it going?
That's
good, yeah. All right, well, to start again, so the Course in Miracles talks about level confusion. So one level would be your house is on fire and you need a pail of water. Then there's a level, there is no house and there is no need for water, yeah? So the point is, mind is manifesting on a lot of levels. And so one level, Ramana would say about surrender, who would surrender and to whom, yeah? So his view, there is no one to surrender and there's no one to surrender to. But then he also speaks about surrender as probably, for certain people, surrender is like the key, because there are people who feel like they've omitted things they should have done and committed things they shouldn't have done. And they're having a lot of difficulty with living life on life's terms. So he would say, surrender. Thy will be done. See yourself as an instrument, and or to me, like you're the artist's brush. Yeah. So the artist's brush doesn't keep looking back to see what the artist is doing. It's just being used, and then you'll see the tree by its fruits. Yeah. You'll see how things are going, and then you realize you're in good hands. So we're going to be talking about in AA the surrender is really. It's my own experience. I had to be given the event, yeah. Because some people believe a surrender is triggered by things happening, but things, terrible things seem to happen, but they didn't trigger a surrender. Like getting run over twice in one night is a pretty big event, but it didn't initiate a surrender. And a lot of overdoses and arrests never initiated a surrender. To me, it happened at that regular day at the office. Something just downloaded. But from then on, I could entertain surrender because I had a sense of it. Until you get a sense of it, you can't really entertain it, you know? Mind has a limit here in a way. If you limit the possibilities of mind, the possibilities, it needs to have a taste to entertain. So you need to get like a free sample in a sense, and then the mind will expand on it. So if it... For me, the circumstances in my life didn't trigger one, yeah. But then the regular day at the office, just trying to get loaded and stay high, something happened, something downloaded, and in that download, there was a deep admittance that I was screwed, and that never changed. So there was a surrender. See, in a way, in AA, there's two facts, before and after we get sober, before and after. And the facts are we're powerless over alcohol or drugs and our life has become unmanageable. When you're not in agreement with that, tons of shit happens. Yeah. And then when you get in agreement with that, things can go much better. The facts are the exact same. It's either you're in agreement with them, like you've admitted that you're powerless and your life's unmanageable, then something can happen. If you're resisting that, you're going to get a different set of consequences. But the facts don't change. You know, you're powerless over alcohol and your life is unmanageable. So let's say you could say you're powerless over thinking and your life's unmanageable. Yeah, you could use it in a lot of different ways, the 12 steps. It doesn't have to be drinking. It's a lot of different topics. There's Gamblers Anonymous. There's Sex and Love Addicts Anonymous. There's tons of things. Because they all use the same 12 principles because they work, yeah? That's what happens. So the point is, the surrender is really in the third step, which is, at that point, it's only a decision because, in a sense, your life isn't in your hands to turn over. You've been taken over by something, and that something doesn't respect you, but it does respect the power greater than it. So you're going to introduce a higher power, let's say, to the equation by doing steps 4 through 9, yeah, the working steps of AA, and then something happens. Now you have some power in the decision, yeah. And it's actually after you do 4 through 9 that you really get the sense of the third step, yeah. You The third step is just a decision at that point, but after you do 4 through 9, or it actually does you, because really what you're doing in recovery is you've surrendered and you've submitted yourself to be changed, yeah? It's not about changing, you're going to be changed, yeah? So you put yourself under that condition situation, and then that situation continues to change you. So maybe in the beginning it looks like you're working it, but then it's working you, and then it's living you in a way. So like, I don't think about, should I go to a meeting? I just think, which one? Yeah, I'm in the habit of doing it. And very important for us in recovery, the first year is the most important time, because what happens is new habits get formed. And in our diagnosis, the problem resides in the mind. And a habit is an action without thought. So you want your sobriety based on actions, not thoughts. Because the thought is where the disease is. Yeah. So the habits get set in place the first year. And basically they become your insurance policy the rest of your life. Yeah? And the point...
I went to 3 or 4 meetings a day for the first year.
Yeah, a lot of that happens, yes.
And just cemented.
Yeah, and then the service, and then like we tend to make sure you say hello to a newcomer who introduced themselves. Yeah, you don't have to be worried if you give them their phone number; they're never going to call you anyway. But you're willing to put your hand out, and you get into these habits, and these habits have the ability to keep you somewhat out of self. And really, the problem is being obsessed with self. So these things are based totally on the problem. So sort of to Because if you watch people, there's like a ring of an interest and attention. Yeah, they're in a horizontal little download. It's almost like saran wrap is being wrapped around your head. You can still say you see, but after about 10 layers, it's sort of freaking skeptical. You know, you're just assuming things and supposing things. So that's the horizontal download to me, which is your interest and attention gets caught in orbit, and it's all about you yesterday and tomorrow. It's just unbelievable. So you have to break through that gravitational pull, and service is the main thing in recovery. One alcoholic helps another. Yeah. So that's the whole point. So surrender is something I needed to know. Conceptually, it doesn't work for me. It doesn't have any traction. It's just an idea. I surrendered. And you picture it like, you know, my idea of surrender would be on a cliff with the wind blowing, with past girlfriends and prospective girlfriends looking at me adoringly. Yo, look at what a great decision he's made. But really, in us, it's to go home and do an inventory, which you wouldn't think. That doesn't sound like surrender. That sounds like work. But you go home and do steps 4, which is an inventory and stuff. So surrender to me is the key, because if the problem is managing, and where you're managing or where the mental state's managing is in life, to surrender the will in life over to the care of something else will allow some relief to occur. And what happened was, to me, I had the spirit of it because I had lived in Delancey Street, this program, for 2 years. And when I left, I didn't like those people and I didn't like their principles. But I had to begrudgingly admit that my life looked better, much better with them running it than it ever did with me running it. So I have the spirit already, but I'm telling you, surrendering to AA and surrendering to Delancey Street are two different freaking events, yeah? And totally different effects. So I had the idea, so it made total sense to me, because I knew I was screwed, and part of the being screwed was I was managing myself into unmanageability. So I was like, yeah, I'm willing to turn my will and my life over to the care of this higher power. And then I've watched the results, and it works. Yeah. So if the managing is the dilemma, which is the active aspect of the disease, is managing and control, if that can be lifted a day at a time, that's when you start traveling lighter in AA. Yes? And the last thing you want to do is have the thought system involved in your sobriety, because it can't be based on feeling like you want to do something. It's got to be a commitment. Yeah, you have to, because this is, in a sense, like you people, if you join this club, you'll leave and find another club. people like us, when we leave our club, we die, many of us. It's not like we go find another club. They perish, a lot of people. A lot of people. And it's amazing to see how many people leave, because nobody in their right mind is sitting at a coffee table and looking at the Bahamas and then choosing like a program. You know, fucking going into Delancey Street for 2 years wasn't really a vacation plan. I was forced into the situation. So when people are coming to AA meetings, it's a pretty good indication that something is really screwed up. And then see them leave and you never see them again. Who the hell knows what happens? But I just don't, I do not believe it's going to get better. They're not going to go on a winning streak usually, you know. So it's a life or death thing, seriously. And so, it, you know, we laugh a lot, but it has to be taken seriously. And to me, the seriousness has to be demonstrated in serving others. You know, you can have a perfect program in your living room, but you got to be in this community. Yeah, because you have it by giving it away. If you're not willing to give it away, you won't have it. Yeah. So surrender is the key, but you can't force a surrender. I don't know how to make a surrender happen for you, because it hadn't, nothing had triggered it in my life. It had a download, but now I know how to entertain it. So I feel like you can enter surrendered, where the principle of attempting to manage what cannot be managed is over. You're not trying to change something that can't be changed. Yeah. You have acceptance of the situation. We say in AA, it's all about, you've got to fit yourself around circumstances instead of trying to fit the circumstances around you. This is all surrender, in a sense. And when you surrender, you see a much larger size of yourself. Yeah. So that's the point with me in surrender. So let's say you're overwhelmed right now. And what's going to exasperate the overwhelm is managing it. Then you get to the point that you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, and you just give it up, in a sense. You finally admit you're overmatched, and then suddenly you have the ability to override things that you were defeated by. I don't know how it actually works, but it works. I've seen it over and over again. And I have met so many people, and they share with you for 20 minutes, you know, about their story, and all you can say is, yeah, you're fucked, basically. It looks like there's no way out, and then there's a way out. It happens over and over and over again. I've seen it so many freaking times. Your little pea brain. See, we do this in where I come from. When there's a new person, we tell them, hey, write down everything you want after your first year of sobriety. And then when they reach the first year of sobriety, we read it, and you cannot believe how short-changing they were of themselves, yeah? Life gave them so much freaking more. And if that's not a sign of, wait, this makes freaking sense to turn this life over, because that which I'm going to turn it over to is going to produce a much bigger and better life. So, yeah. That's surrender. And surrendered to me is the key. And you're not in any argument with the principles. That any life run on self-will will not be successful. It is self that has defeated us. Yeah? We manufacture our own misery. All this stuff happens. I am totally in agreement with that. The dilemma before is I had no power to back it up, and the program allowed me to access power to back it up. Yeah. Yeah. So, any questions on surrender? Yes.
Is there anything from sex or food and wine in your experience that can be transferable, like the essence of the steps that could be applied to others that have
totally
different
dimensions?
Yeah. Because I know it's the same thing, but just a different label. So
yeah.
If it's possible to share.
Yeah, yeah. So the fourth step is the basic inventory, like, it's the first introductory inventory when you come in to the program. So the fourth step is you're going to see, in a sense, in my way of seeing it, right? You're going to see how self has defeated you in whatever topic you're in. Yeah. Could it be the thinking? Could it be the acting out? Could it be the eating and stuff like that? Yes? So you're going to see how self defeated you by looking at some of its common manifestations. So we use, in recovery, we use resentment, fear, and harms done to others. So we look at those areas, and we do a simple four-column inventory. Anyone could do it. It's quite easy, yeah? So there's four columns, and they go like this. The first column is who you're mad at, yes? Could be you, whatever, and you put that down there. And then you say just simple, bare-bone account of why you're mad at them. So I'll use an example. So Wendy, I'm mad at Wendy. Why? She left me. So that would be column one and two. The third column is we try to look at the instinctual agenda, because the body has needs, yeah? And the mental state plays it like an instrument and produces a lot of wants that masquerade as needs. So people want the fourth house, and it feels like if they don't get the fourth house, you know? Yeah, so it expands on these want needs and turns them into wants. And also the selfing is managing the agenda. So the instinctual agenda would be broken down, yeah, you know? The social instinct, which is self-esteem, personal relationships, pride, how other people view you, all this, yes? They're all important agendas to the mental state. The second one would be emotional security, like a sense of well-being, love, belonging, and physical security, like clothing, shelter, food, stuff like that. And the third is the sexual instinct, which is procreation and pleasure, yes? Yeah. So those three things. So that's the third column. And what you do is you look at the resentment, because what you're doing isn't based on really what you're doing. There's other things going on, yeah? Usually what we're doing, acting out, is a reaction to something else, yeah? That you don't see. So what's not seen is producing that movement towards whatever it is, food or something like that. So the inventory, so you take the resentment and you go, Wendy, why am I mad at her? She left me, all right? What part of my agenda did it affect? Well, it affected my self-esteem. It affected my pride. I think I'm a ladies man, and then the lady just left me, so I don't feel a little shaky now. I feel it affects how I think other people view me, like a ladies man, stuff like that. It affects my material security. Wendy's rich and I'm not, so now I'm going to be driving the Pinto again. The BMW's gone. Got to move out of the chalet, go to my little apartment. So that's upsetting. Then my emotional security is also based on my material security, so I don't feel like I'm taken care of now. That's under threat. My sexual ambition, sleeping with Wendy, is gone, and also sleeping with her maid is gone. Yeah. So it's affected a lot of things. So you see the size of the resentment is usually based on the threat it seems to portray to you. Yeah. So you feel like you're going to lose something that you have or not get what's something that you want. So it really, really doesn't really have much to do with Wendy. Yeah. So that's the third column. So then I go to the third column. Then I go to the fourth column and ask yourself the simple question, where am I or was I selfish, self-seeking, and frightened, inconsiderate, and dishonest? Now, to me, inconsiderate, dishonest are just examples or manifestation of self-seeking and frightened and selfish. So basically, those two things come up. So now I do the inventory. I see Wendy, I'm mad at Wendy, she left me, it affected all these things, and what's my role in it? Yeah, because see, in AA, everyone who's getting loaded tonight does the first two columns. They know exactly who they're mad at and why, but it leads to a drink. AA just moves it and takes a look at what was your role in things. That's where the whole relief of AA is stop freaking blaming others and see what role you're playing in the whole event. Yeah. That's it. It's just a simple movement. And then other spirituality just takes it even farther. Like the Course in Miracles, you're the dreaming of the whole dream. You're giving everything all the meaning of that. But AA sort of puts it in the right direction. So now, Wendy, blah, 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 it affected all these things, and I was selfish and self-seeking frightened. Self-seeking frightened, I don't even really like Wendy. You know what I mean? So I'm not really upset that she's leaving, because Wendy, it's the maid and the car and the fucking money and the prestige. Yeah. So, and I'm self-seeking and frightened. I'm afraid I won't be able to get what I have now because I'm relying on that insanity anyway. So I'm in a state of self-seeking and frightened. And therefore, I've been selfish. It would be great for Wendy to meet someone else, and I'd probably meet someone else much better, but I'm afraid to let her go because of the money, you see? So now you see it. So I have done the fourth column. If you can do one example all the way through, you can do 800 of them. You have the formula now. You can put 1,000, you can do 5, but you got it. You start from column 1, end up at column 4. Suddenly, let's say you have a lot of information, and you'll see the pattern of how self defeated you. Yeah. So for me, a lot of my resentments was trying to save my face instead of my ass. Yeah. My self esteem, everything like that. And so you can see whatever the self is taking to be important. That's where you'll see the manifestations of it the most. Yeah. Like a lot of women I know are willing to surrender everything but their body image, and that's where all their resentments and fear is about the body image. Yeah, they will not let it go. They have to look a certain way, and therefore they're petrified that they don't and stuff like that. So you'll see how self-defeated you, the pattern of it, yeah? You'll see it. And what happens is you put the information down, and that's that. Yeah, you've got it now. Now you do fear. Fear, same thing. It's like first column, what am I afraid of? Second column, why? Most of the time, you don't have any reason to be fearful because it's coming from the instinctual agenda. Mostly, you're afraid you're not going to get something. Even when you have it, there's a fear of losing it. Yeah? And the same thing with money. Someone has $1 million, you think they'd be happy, but their belief is it's never going to be enough. So they have fear is concerning money, even though there should be no fear because they have lots of money. Yeah. So it's just the insanity of the self thing. So there's fear. Second column is why I have the fear. Sometimes you can't put anything down. Go to the third column. You'll see why. It's your instinctual agenda. Fourth column again. Hey, I'm self-seeking and frightened and selfish. Yeah, I'm afraid I'm not going to get what I want or lose what I have. That's basically how it goes. So you write it all out again. Now you see how self-defeated you with that. Then you go to harms done to other people. Do the same thing again. You end up with the same columns. And then so when we do the sex, we do four columns. And because we're going to try to find a new, this is an incredible step seminar. Shit. Just sitting here. You're getting a lot of information. You're not even in AA. I can't believe you're sitting here listening to it. It's like the secrets of AA being revealed. But in the fourth column of the sex, there's five columns. Because you want to start getting a new ideal concerning relations with others, not just sexual, but just relations with others. And so we ask ourselves a question after the four columns, which is, what could I have done instead? You know what I mean? So maybe instead of rushing to Wendy's house and going fucking bananas, I could have called my sponsor and talked to him about it and say, hey, do you think it's a good idea I visit Wendy at 2 in the morning? He would have said, no, I don't think so. Okay, then stay home. Next morning, you would have passed and you weren't up on stalking charges, yeah? So you know what I mean? You look at how it could be. I could, you know, fuck, I could maybe listen to the person more or whatever. And then be willing to grow towards it. This is not perfection. It's progress, not perfection. But you're willing to go that direction. So now you've done the inventory process. What happens then? Fifth step, which is you share it with someone else and in the presence of the higher power. So it's like a trinity. So when people come, they have their information and they share it with you, and you as a sponsor may point out, hey, you know, you've got a big blind spot about sense of entitlement. You think you've got a lot coming to you and stuff. Yeah? So now there's more revealed about how self defeats you. Then 6 and 7 is what you do with the information you've had revealed in the fourth step and gone over the fifth step. So when you see the shit coming up, yeah, when you see the pattern, let's say that tends to jackpot you, you say, hey, I'm entirely ready for have this removed. You're catching it right out of the bakery, you know. Have this. Not like a forensic unit, like 8 months ago I figured out why I did something. No, you see what was pointed out to you. You see selfing starting to grow, yeah. It's starting to do its number. But now, instead of finding out after the fact, you're seeing it. So you go, hey, I'm entirely ready to have this removed. And then you humbly ask that power to remove it. That's 6 and 7. That's what we do all day. Yes? That's how things change. You don't change them. You bring them up to be changed. Yeah? And then step 8 is you write down all the people you've harmed by looking at the fourth step. Yeah? And then other people I harmed that had nothing to do with resentment, fears, harms others, like when I stole from a liquor store. I hadn't had sex with anyone there. Didn't have any resentment towards them, any fear, but I stole, I hurt them, you know, by stealing the money. So then you make in a list, that's all you do. Make a list of all the people you've harmed. And then step nine is you become willing to make amends to those people. Yeah? In other words, you go up to people and you tell them what's happened. And you you take responsibility for your role. It's incredible freeing. That was the most freeing one I did. I'll give you an example. When I was out there using, I lived in a pizza part of San Francisco called North Beach. Yeah? And there was a market in North Beach called Rossi's Market. And every day I'd go in there with a long trench coat and take some flat steaks, put them into my pants, and 2 16-ounce beers here, and walk out. That was my meal for the day while I was looking for drugs. Every day I stole from them, never got caught. So I get sober, and there's a good meeting in North Beach. In San Francisco, there is absolutely no parking at all. You're lucky if you find a parking. So I drive to that meeting, but I'd never go down the street Rossi's Market was on. I'd avoid it like the plague, yeah, for months. And then one day I finally said, freak it, I'm going to go in there. So I went up to the guy working at the, you know, checkout, and I said, where's the manager? And they say, he's upstairs. So I go upstairs. I come in, I say, hey, listen, I used to live here before. I stole a lot of stuff from you. I'm in a program of recovery. And he has $55, you know, as a symbol. I don't know how much I owed him. So I gave it to him. And you know what happened? I never thought of Rossi's Market ever again. That's what happens with the amends. All the space that's being occupied by your fail system, which means avoid at all costs, suddenly when I fessed up and showed up, I was freed from that past. Yes? It was an incredible sensation, and I made a lot of amends. I had hurt a lot of people. Yeah. And the greatest one for me, luckily, is my mother died when I was 2 years sober. So I made a living amends to her. And all she ever wanted, I remember I was with a guru once, and it kept me sober. She wrote a letter to the newspaper and said, hallelujah to Guru Maharaji. My son, I don't care who my son follows, as long as he's sober, I'm fucking happy, basically. So, it was really freaking powerful. So, you know, I got a chance to make amends to her by being sober. Yeah? So that's the point. So once you do the amends, you don't shut the door on the past nor regret it anymore. You've cleaned it all up. Yeah, you're not looking over your shoulder. And then, and basically, you get freed from time, really. Because the time, you're spending so much time not going near all those things. They're dominating you all freaking day. Once you just showed up and cleaned the slate, you made the amends, gave money, whatever you had to do, then you basically become like a free-range alcoholic. Yeah. And then 10, 11, 12 are just the maintenance steps that we do, which is you continue to take little inventories to see where self is defeating you. 11, it says to improve your conscious contact with this power through prayer and meditation. But to me, the greatest maintenance of a spiritual condition is being a spiritual condition, which I believe you are. Yeah. So step 11 can be a living event. And step 12 is you just take the agenda of AA and you make it your own, which is you're going to practice these principles in all your affairs. And if you can't do that, you limit your affairs. Yeah, at least in the beginning. And then you try to help other people achieve sobriety. That's it. That's the 12 steps. Not bad synopsis. At least, you know, you don't know, but this was spectacular. You know, description of it in such a short time.
Great stuff.
Thank you. Appreciate that. But you see, the step 12 is...
That's the key, isn't it?
It's the key because, see, your inclination is to be all about you. Yeah. Even when you're doing stuff like this, it's still all about you. And a lot of times when I first started going to meetings like this, after, you know, non-duality people, I would tell some of them, hey, listen, I really suggest you go to a soup kitchen today. Don't come back for the next meeting because it's not, this isn't fucking helping you. You've got a tons of information, but it's not going anywhere. Go, don't help someone you know. Help a stranger, and I bet you feel better than all these sessions are going to promote. Yeah, because you'll get out of yourself and get a real sense of being out of yourself, and that allows your head to start really entertaining, I mean your innermost, what it's truly like to be out of self. Not as self. Yeah? To be out of self as what you are, not as self. So that's the program, in a sense. You know, hopefully you can go off on it, but that's basically what we do, the 12 steps. And then there's a lot that surrounds that. The service being the most important, the meanings and the fellowship. Yeah? And so it's a beautiful system, because in this system, I need to carry the message, he needs to hear the message, and he needs to carry the message, I need to hear the message. See, it's beautifully symbiotic, yes? It's almost like electromagnetism. So electricity produces magnetism, magnetism produces the electricity, and it can go on infinitum, yeah? So that's it for that. Do you see it, though? So whatever's going on with you, you can apply it. Because you don't want to move directly. It's not the alcohol and the drugs. It's not that. Those are symptoms. The real thing is there's the identification as a self. And these are some ways the system is trying to manage. Yeah. And even though it's failed, you still seem to be here, so it thinks it's successful, basically. It does. You know, if you're not dead, it thinks it gives it itself a gold star, you know. But we're out of survival, most of us. We should be living now, yeah? It shouldn't be about survival anymore. Yeah. And again, the parasite takes many forms. Yeah. And if you can see it as a foreign, you're not doing what's happening. You're being driven to do what's happening. And if you can see it as a foreign installment, you'll be able to entertain being free from it. And I believe so shall it be, really. I really do. I have faith in mine completely. So, any questions? I bet you didn't think you were going to hear about 12 steps. Woo! Did I sign up for a 12-step meeting? No, but you're in one now. No.
Last night, in talking about your download and trailer, in passing you said, I had no hope. And I felt that provided space.
Yes.
I guess my question is, does desperation or trust, are either of those relevant to this?
Well, desperation. The thing is, when you're experiencing a bottom, there's no observer. You're totally, all the little mental attributes that say they're exempt from what's happening, which they never are all in the bottom. It's like completely... You're completely in it. Yeah, that's when there's a possibility of real change. Yeah, mm-hmm.
And that involves some desperation.
Yes, sick and tired of being sick and tired, desperation, pitiful and incomprehensible demoralization, total defeat, constant parts like that. It's not necessary, but it's basically what usually happens here. No one usually goes to AA out of virtue. Yeah? They go to AA, you know, because there's nowhere else to go, literally. And they're going to die, honestly.
And desperation, you know, causes us in all areas to be more open to help. Mm-hmm. And in some cases, to seek help.
For sure, exactly. Because right underneath that is vulnerability. Mm-hmm. And that's what you're totally afraid of. So you have to really surrender, you know.
I found what you said extremely inspirational. I haven't been through any of the four main addictions that you talk about, at least not personally. But I think that it's what you said is inspirational. No matter what one's circumstances, no matter what one has not been through, if one has lived, I think what you said is absolutely applicable.
Oh yeah, because I'm sure that Jackson is talking about the thinkaholic or whatever. It's truly that sense of self that's the petri dish all the other shit grows in. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
See, these are sort of like they're like amplifiers to the instrument, but the bass instrument is the act of being identified as a self. And then different ones can play different tunes, but it's all brought to about by the basic instrument of the selfing. Yeah. Yeah, that's the important thing.
Everything revolves around that.
Because you can get relief from some of the things that are affixed to it, but you won't get relief, total relief from selfing.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're not the cause of selfing. Selfing is, in a sense, the cause of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? So, like, thinking that you're the doer, people can get a very clear take that they are powerless over alcohol and drugs, yet their head is still harvesting tons of guilt and shame based on what they did when they were under the influence, because that's rooted in the selfing. The alcoholism, so you can get relief from alcoholism, you may not get relief from the selfing. Yeah, so that's the point. Yeah? The point is, what's the real exact nature of the addictions aren't the addiction. It's the cherishing of self. That's the real addiction, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Actually, all the other addictions are attempting to relieve yourself of that addiction. See, like when I was using in the beginning, the state saw it as something bad. To me, it was medicine. It was the only way. I had an imperative. I felt really uncomfortable in my own skin at all times, and I had to get out and get relief. But when I went for the relief, I got punished for it. But the type I was, no matter how much punishment I got, I kept going for that relief because that was the imperative. Punishment wouldn't shoo me off of it. I did not feel okay. Yeah. And the only way I could feel okay was by getting either extremely shot up with coke or obliterated with alcohol. One or the other. I prefer the tautness of coke, but anything would do.
Yeah, you remind me of a guy I knew some years ago, and he asked me if we could meet for a chat, and we did. He had serious drinking problems, recovering alcoholic, as he would call himself. I was motivated, or my motivation for meeting him and listening to him effectively, yeah, was that he showed real remorse. And because of that, I felt that I could be of some help to him. I sensed that if he hadn't showed the remorse, I would have been less interested or less motivated.
Yeah. Well, probably that's pretty good, because in a way, in recovery, after years of being in it, you'll get a whole different idea of what help is,
yeah,
for
I
sure.
This remorse was really deep and genuine.
Yeah.
And he was, and just to connect with what you were saying about helping others, he was out there helping in soup kitchens.
Yeah, yeah. He was just overmatched, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happens. But see, sometimes you do a disservice to people trying to help save them from their bottom, because the bottom will be the best teacher. Yeah? So if someone wants to get loaded, I said, far out, go ahead. You know, it's better than, you know, enabling them. Because the enabling them, I know in my own case, I hated everyone that let me get away with murder. I needed a big fucking foot up my ass. So when people were trying to be nice to me, I just took advantage of it, and I lost all respect for them completely, really. Seriously.
It would seem that, to me anyway, that remorse is qualitatively different from guilt.
Oh, yeah. Yes, of course. Yes. Oh, yeah. One of the reasons why you keep getting loaded is you're running away from all that, you see, because you're still taking yourself to be the one who did it all. And it's quite unbearable. You know, I've seen women leave their kids tons of times. You know, things that you thought like motherly love get overridden like that. The parasite can override anything. Did I talk about parasites in nature?
Last time that I think we just talked about.
Well, you know, it's nice to see parasites in nature and then maybe, you know, picture that what's going on could be very similar that's going on with us, yeah? So the first one I ever got introduced to, which is a trip, was a cordyceps mushroom, yeah? And there's a large, it's a large species of mushroom, but the one they sent me information on was incredible, where this cordyceps mushroom, it's like a fungus, yeah? Fungi. It's like a parasite. And just like everything else, it has this imperative to reproduce. But its degree of difficulty is unbelievable. Like, you and I can go on Match.com. We could probably meet somebody, at least in a week. But these four things, they have to, the spores have to go to the right place for it to grow. And basically, they're depending on wind or an animal hitting it or something. This thing overrode that idea, realized that ain't going to do. So what it does, it sends the spores out and they land on ants and they burrow into the ant. And when they burrow into the ant, they jack into the ant's brain and they tell the ant where the mushroom wants to go, like a dank, dark place. Now, if the ant had self-centeredness, I guarantee you every step of the way it would be thinking it was doing it. But it's actually being used for transportation, such as we are, many of us now, actually. Yeah? So it's in the ant, and it tells the ant, all right, go to that dark place, and then the mushroom, and then when this arrives, it kills the ant and grows right out of its head. Now, you think that's pretty incredible, but all the different species of cordyceps land on different insects. Do the same thing, but land on different ones, like fucking grasshoppers, everything like that. And they basically do the same thing. They jack into the mainframe, and they tell the bug where to go. And they have no defense, yeah, against it. Yeah. And now there's one called Toxo as a friendly nickname. It's in about 20 or 30% of all humans. Usually it's in suspense, like suspended animation in brains. They can wait a long, long time for their chance, these parasites. Now, this one has an incredible degree of difficulty. It can only reproduce in the belly of a cat. And it's not found in cats, the parasite. So it's in another animal, like a rat and a mouse. It can't call Uber, you know. It can't fucking take a cab. It doesn't have legs. So it has to convince whatever it's in to do what it wants to do, which is find a cat. So it does it with rats. They have great videos of it, where the rat will, you know, run right up to the cats, basically like a knife and fork, and like, hey, and the cats are like really surprised in the middle of the day, and it's just like, and they eat it, and it gets to the cat's stomach, and now it's found success, and it reproduces. This is happening. You don't believe that we're taking over? Alcoholism is a parasitical movement, which is affixes to the real parasitical movement, which is the mental state's idea of you as a self. Tell you the truth. And then once it kicks in, it uses you for transportation. And you take the blame. Really, that's what happens. Yeah, because all the while it's expressing through you, you're calling it you. You're in the act of being identified as it. How can you not be? If something that's totally foreign to you is expressing through you, and you call it your expressions, you're in, seemingly, the act of being identified as that. Obviously. I mean, how could you else diagnose it? It's, yeah? See, the thing is, you're expecting to see a thing, or you're expecting to see a certain date that something took you over. It's not. It's an activity that allows it to take you over. Yeah? It can be stopped at any moment, but it can also proceed in any moment. It's not based on the parasite, it's actually based on the host. But if the host is calling the parasite itself, the parasite has a really good chance to live a long fucking time on the host. Because you won't be able to go, because you're calling it you. And then it'll go into all your little intimate topics, and when you greet it at the door, you'll call it me. It's got carte blanche access. And it's not going to kill you. I mean, most alcoholics would wish they were dead. They'll live like fucking with limps and abscesses and no teeth. They keep on cooking for fucking years. The post doesn't, the parasite doesn't want to lose its host. It's going to keep you going. You'll be begging to die, basically, in some respects. Yeah. If you can see it as foreign, even if it isn't true, it doesn't matter. If you can picture it as something other than you, I'm telling you, a possibility will now be available to you, which is you can be free from it. That possibility is not available to you when you're identified as it. It's impossible. You cannot think of being free of you as you, except for killing yourself, basically. If you put the whole thing out, then maybe you would think that was freedom. That's why you see people kill themselves. They don't shoot themselves in the elbow, usually in the head. They want to escape from that, but they can't seem to escape from it because they're calling it them. Yeah. That's how it worked with me. As soon as I saw it on that statement, self manifests in various ways, I finally saw it as a foreign installment. I entertained, hey, I could be free from that, and it's happened. It's all that. You're not, all your movement towards shit is based on what you're moving away from, most cases. We see the movement toward, we don't see the movement away. It's always going to be a dualistic event. So it's never you're going this way. There's, oop, I'm afraid to go that way and go this way. Yeah.
And it looks like addictions is almost entirely an escape from.
Yes, but it's not from. Because you're trying to escape as. That's the dilemma. The story is you're escaping from, but you will know very quickly, or maybe years later, you're never escaping from, you're escaping as.
Right.
Yeah? Yeah.
Just something there, Paul, about like when you are it, you can't escape from it. Because you are it as. Just coming from my own experience, I remember early on in AA, I was struggling enough because I couldn't see anything. I had no idea about anything. And it was a crazy place to be. And I scanned the preamble, you know, the preamble that we have. And it said the capacity to be honest. I thought, that's it. The bit of light there was the capacity to be honest.
Yeah.
And I just prayed for that. But
yeah.
But it was a thing, the armor of some sort, you know. I just thought it was.
For me, it was the ability to be convinced. That's what I would pray for. Because the whole charade is thinking you have power when you don't have power. That's the dilemma of powerlessness. The dilemma of powerlessness is you think you have power. And you don't. When you admit your powerlessness, then you have power. But if you keep exerting power, you'll find that you're powerless because people aren't going to do what you want them to do. And you're not going to do what you want you to do. Yeah? Yeah, it's a tricky little maneuver.
And powerlessness, that was interesting because I discovered I couldn't be a bit powerless. I was either powerless or I wasn't.
Exactly.
And I was like slipping in and out, and it's like, shit, I kind of get this now. I'm not powerless.
That's why new people, I would say pray for the ability to be convinced so you're done with the whole fucking debate. Yeah, then you submit yourself to the program. It's not forever, it's for one day at a time. And then after a while, see if you like the results or not. You know, it's like you can always, like we say in AA, we'll always return your misery for you if you want it. We will. This isn't a draft, we're just suggesting that there's a possibility. There is a solution, which was incredible because before 1935, where I speak on Wednesday nights, they have it's a church, and they have this big podium where they have a huge old Bible, and sometimes it's turned to a page. So one night I looked at it was from the Psalms, the Old Testament, and they were bitching about winos in the Psalms. Like, what the fuck are we going to do with them? Well, that's the problem until 35, and then suddenly a solution was available. Yeah? It downloaded through Bill W., and is now people have a... Before then, Uncle Fred was in the fucking attic. You know? People were getting lobotomized. And if you cannot believe how many people die from alcoholism. They don't have it on the death report, but it's cirrhosis of the liver. It's all fucking alcohol-related. And most people in jail right now, prisons are drugs and alcohol. Over 80-90% of all the prisoners. Like we used to say, hey, every time I drank, I didn't get in trouble. But every time I got in trouble, I was drinking. Every fucking time I was on drugs. So, sure. Yes. It's a huge, huge, huge thing going on. Yeah. Again, though, the king gets hidden underneath it because it's really the identification as a self. That's really the root of it all. That's the irritability, restlessness, and discontent. It's like in Buddhism, we said it the other night, right? The agitation of the mental state is in a desiring to become and unbecome. And so it can never fulfill the mission, so it's like a very agitated condition. So if it needs peace, you won't have peace in about a half hour. Because they'll be worrying, will I have peace tomorrow? There goes the peace, yeah. You can't, there's no peace in, you can't entertain peace through time. That's not peace, yeah. And time is self, and self is time, completely. The good news is you are what you're looking for. Fucking hallelujah. The lion is the lion. How many times does it need to hear it's a lion? Maybe none. It will get it. You know? Alright, so let's say the lion is identified as a sheep. How many times it may need to hear it? Once? Twice? Who knows? But the point is, once you see that you're not the sheep, you're immediately and have always been the lion. All the roaring classes you signed up for, gone. Thanks. You stop fucking, you know, trying to straighten your hair, it goes straight. You roar, you know. You're a lion. What's the problem? It's identification as something else. That's the only thing that could distract or knock off or catch or divert the message, you're a lion, to a lion. There would have to be identification as something else. Yeah? How else could the message not get through? I'm a lion. I hear I'm a lion. I'm a lion. What's the big problem? Because the mental state is identifying as something other and catching the message and neutering it. It's like that movie Moon with the clones. You know, we shared it at the talks in Dublin. I bastardized this movie, but I like it. So this guy, he's a guy that's working on this planet. They found a new mineral on the moon that fires up all the technology of Earth. So they have this huge, giant farm with these huge machines, and all you need is one person to run the whole thing. And this guy, he's from Boston. He loves the Boston Red Sox, has a Boston Red Sox hat, has pictures of his wife and kid back on Earth. And he's on his last, he's only had five more days of his five-year stint, which is, goes on ad infinitum. He never reaches the fourth day. It's all human programming. Yeah. He's a clone. He's not from Boston, doesn't have a wife and kid. Yeah? He's not getting off in 5 days. He's just been working for year after year with this program. All right? So suddenly, something happens and there's indisputable evidence it's a clone. Oh, far out. A clone realizes it's a clone. What big deal? But that's not what happens. Indisputable evidence is a clone, but it's caught by the human program. And the human programming has a whole different idea of what it would be like to be a clone as a human. It's like, no, no, no. You know, this is fucking the death of me. Throws the hat off, you know, fuck this Red Sox, which I agree with completely. Fuck them, throw them off and stuff like that. You know, and it's a big thing. But if a clone got the message, it's a clone far out. Jeez, that solved a lot of my problems. I'm a clone. But the thing is, the programming catches the message and neuters it. And that's what's happening with us. You can be here for freaking 12 weeks, and I'm telling you, it's going to catch mostly 99% of what's being thrown at you, because it's the quickest process going on here. Any process is going to be slower than the process the brain goes through to produce the sense of self. It's like 500th of a second. You're not going to beat that gunslinger with a process. But you can outdraw the gunslinger because you're not of time. In timelessness, your gun is always out. You never lose. That's the solution. The solution is not finding the truth. The solution is questioning that which you're not. When that is done, you'll find out what you are. But you're never going to know what you are from the false reference. You see you're not the false reference, and that's how you find out what you are. End of story. There's no other options. It's not going to happen if you do more or better or you meet the greatest. It's not. Because it's a fundamental flaw that you cannot correct after the flaw. Yeah? Because when you do, you'll be trying to correct being a sheep as a sheep. You'll get to an absurd point of trying to be a non-self as a self. Just see you're not the sheep, what will happen? You're going to roar very quickly. That's it. The message is timeless. You know? Ooh. Once you get a taste of timelessness, you'll be able to tell all the fucking products like sugar-coated with time. And you'll probably have an immunity to them. You are not going to get to where you already are, ever. So any questions?
I'm a little bit confused about powerlessness. To me, it feels like, maybe I can just ask you about it a little bit. The evidence for that is, you know, if you think you want to do something, you want to get some results, and it doesn't happen, you know, and it doesn't happen a lot.
Yeah.
So you're met with kind of powerlessness. So that's because you're operating from a false place that you have control over something, and really it's not like that. It's like things are just kind of happening. Is that kind of it?
Yes.
Yeah.
So in this way, by admitting your powerlessness,
yeah,
you won't experience powerlessness.
Yeah.
You'll experience power.
Because you're in alignment, kind of. Or you're,
yes. Well, you're open to a source of power.
Yeah.
And that you will know the tree by its fruits. You're going to see something. You're going to travel differently. And you'll know you're onto something. And if it's working, allow it to keep working. Yeah? You're the one that will put the limits on it. It won't. Literally. Isn't that what you're looking for readily available now? Don't you sense it now? What's the problem? That's how readily available it is. It's now, isn't it? Why wouldn't it be now when you call that now later? It's now now. You sense it? You sense the like pause, pregnant, something? That's us. We've shown up. We're not a face. We're presence. You don't have to sink into it. You're as deep as you fucking could ever be in it. Literally. The ordinariness is the deepest part of the pool. All the other fucking shit is exciting. It's boredom that looks exciting. This is where you can really float. Yeah. Quite ordinarily. But that nothing is going to prove to be everything. This is the trigger point for all the seeking, is this. The mental state is trying to get itself as far away as possible from this. It'll even tell you it's out there. So it's running away from it. May look like it's trying to run towards it. Do not be fooled. It's all running away.